Man, it's just awesome. Like Gary said, if you're a song leader, just standing up here and just hearing the voices just ring out, it's awesome, you know. And I just can imagine God's face smiling in heaven when he hears us really praise him from the heart. I'm Ed Smith, one of the elders here at the Central Church of Christ. And if you're visiting with us this morning and you're looking at this logo up and you're going, what in the world is that about? Well, Central, at the beginning of this year, the decision was made by the elders and a group of leaders to study the basics of what we believe as Christians. And four basic principles that we wanted to look at was our relationship with God, then our relationship with one another as Christians, our relationship to those that are lost, and then how we continue to grow and help each other as we mature in Christ. And so for the first 10 weeks so far this year, we've been looking at our upward relationship or our personal relationship with God. And if you'll look at our little nice little signpost there that Rodney created and built for us, it kind of keeps us on track. You know, every now and then, if you're like me, you need visuals. Some people can go from abstract, but, you know, a lot of times visuals are really helpful. So, but we're ending our first stop of our journey looking at our upward relationship to God. And we've had an opportunity to kind of, you know, again, read God's word, share with one another scriptures. And so let me say this, for the next 2 weeks, next two Sundays anyway, we will be wrapping up our first stop of a journey. As I said, looking at our upward relationship, personal relationship with God, which centers on each Christian's need to maintain a growing and vibrant relationship with God. You know, again, we're called to Christ, and each one of us, God has called us individually to serve him as well as collectively. The first and greatest command in the Bible states this, that we are to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our strength. In other words, with our entire being, right? In order to do that, in order to know God in this way, we must strive to grow in our understanding of who God is, his character, and what he plans for us as individuals and as a collective group. So that's why we're, again, spending this time together. And it's an awesome opportunity because I know if you're like me, you know, as you study the scriptures that have been provided to you and just taking the time to sit down and meditate and then just talk amongst each other, there have been some awesome sharing that's gone on about it. And I hope that you will continue to do that, that we'll continue to do that. This morning, what we want to do, it's a little bit different, is to encourage you by having a personal time of sharing. And so we're going to have some of our brothers come and just share with you some of their study from the word and what they have gleaned from the scripture and how it's challenged them to change what they're doing in their personal walk. So in a few moments, we're going to have Christopher Campbell. He will come first, then Rondell Crittenden, then Jim Blue, and then one of our other elders, Richard Brown, will come and close us out. And I hope that you listen attentively to what they have to say. We also did a little bit of a mini survey with the classes just to kind of see, you know, what people were thinking about what we're doing and how it's going. And we want to let you know we've got those thoughts, we've collected them. We appreciate the comments, and we also appreciate some of the suggestions that people said, hey, there's some other things maybe we ought to consider, you ought to consider doing to make things a little bit clearer and make things a little bit better, and so we're going to do that. I did want to share just one comment that was made from a couple. I won't mention the name, but I just wanted to share this, again, just as a way of encouraging. And I just hope we'll continue to dialogue and continue to share with each other. This family says two ways, the husband says first, two ways I have been challenged or related to intimacy with God. One is through meditation. Some of the scriptures have convicted me, that convicted me were Psalms 1 and Psalms 119, 97. And then secondly, he said, fasting, Matthew 6, 16 through 18. A change I will make is to incorporate into my life more things like meditation and fasting. The scriptures teach that those things should be a part of my life as a Christian. Giving out the guiding scriptures has been good. Class time discussion has also been good. And then from this person's wife, she says, the series has challenged me to be more accountable in my personal walk in the specific areas of prayer and fasting. In the consideration of fasting from other hindrances, not necessarily food, broaden my perspective and grasp on the idea of fasting. And it became more meaningful to me in a very specific spiritual concern that I currently have. My personal walk has improved by delving deeper into God's word through the guidance of specific scriptures from the upward focus, meditation, prayer, fasting. All of the above have improved my intimacy with God. The overall approach has worked for me, but could possibly be improved by implementing them through small group meetings weekly and as a congregation quarterly. Elders to Life Talk leaders and Life Talk leaders to small groups for more congregational focus, implementation, and accountability and feedback. To me, this series was timely. I personally don't feel pressure from the leaders like I'm being forced to implement, but I feel rather a sense of urgency because of a need that I have observed in my personal walk for spiritual renewal. So I am personally most grateful and admit my need is great. So with that, I'll turn it over to Chris, who will come and share with me.
So I'm Chris Campbell, and allergies are fun this time of the year. So I may have to clear my throat a little bit as time goes on, but just work with me here. So something that hit me during our time in the Upward series was prayer. If you grow up in church, you know, prayer is something we do in a lot of cases. You know, we'll pray over meals, we'll pray here at the beginning of service, throughout service. There's just different times that we've set up for prayer. You know, it's the right thing to do, but sometimes it can become like just tradition, and it loses its meaning. And so I had to ask myself, really starting into last year and going into this new year with this series we started, I had to ask myself, how serious do I really take prayer? You know, God established prayer as a means of communication with Him. It's not something to take lightly. It's not something to just look past. You know, if it's a means of communication with Him, how so? How is it? You know, it's an opportunity for us to lay our burdens and our cares before Him. It's a means to show and express my heart before the one I serve. That's a big deal. You know, I desire God to be active in my life. I'm sure we all do. I truly mean that. You know, He's our creator. He's placed His spirit in our hearts. He's laid down His life for us. That's big stuff. How could I not want Him in my life? So last year, I started seeking to make prayer, you know, more meaningful in my life, to make it really be a part of my walk with God. And, you know, going into this year, it continued. So one of the things I started last year was I started a prayer list on my phone, you know, and it continued into this year. It started with prayers that were deep on my heart, you know, things about in my life or things that were just really meant a lot to me. You know, I could look over this list. I could take time, you know, a day or two from now or a week from now, months down the road, and continue to see them and to be praying over these different things. And then I started adding other people to the list. You know, what I found is it's not just my desire for God to be active. I was starting to see all these different requests, all these different things that people were asking for. They were also desiring God to be active in their life. You know, so, excuse me. So, you know, what I was finding, it was prayers about people's lives. They want prayers for their lives. They want prayers for their family. Sometimes it was hurts or pains in their life. All these different things were things that people desired God to be active in. Sometimes it was prayers of joy. You know, thank you, God, for the way things have worked out. You know, sometimes it was prayers for suffering and sadness. You know, in those times, it was an opportunity to pray and to connect with others in their joyful times, in their sad times, in their pain. And that's good. You know, ever so often I would be able to send out a text message to somebody and say, hey, I'm still praying for you. You know, how's it going? How's this situation? You know, how are you doing? How is this going in your life? And I know it sounds like this, you know, this is a connection to the body, so maybe you know, looking forward to another aspect that we're going to get to later this year. And it is, you know, it is about connecting with the body. But the thing with prayer is it starts by pointing up. And, you know, just like what I was talking about earlier, we all desire God to be active in our life. So it all starts with our relationship with Him, looking upward. You know, that's the deal. That's what prayer's about. So that's what's really been challenging me during this series is, you know, let's pray. You know, I want to be a prayerful warrior. So through prayer, I wanted to be more aware of God's presence in all aspects of my life, you know, to build on that upward relationship with Him. So it's not just about communication with Him, but I wanted to be, through prayer, to be more aware of Him and His working through my life, through others' lives. And so some parting thoughts that I wanted to leave with you, because this is an ongoing thing for me. Sometimes growth comes in small ways. Sometimes it's big, sometimes it's small. Sometimes it takes time. So I know that even though we're kind of, you know, at the end of this upward series here, my upward relationship, my growth in that is still going to be happening. It's growing in small ways. You know, this is just one aspect of my upward relationship. That's what I wanted to share with you guys, is just the prayer portion of it. But I wanted to leave you with something that is still on my heart, even as we continue on with the next portion of our series and everything. It's really a challenge that's hit me during our time looking at upward. When someone asks you for prayers, you know, what's your response? Think about that. You know, they might come to you and be like, oh, I'm struggling with this. You know, can you pray about it? You know, our response, at least mine usually, is, yeah, I'll be praying about that. You know, that's good. That's a good thing. But my challenge, something that's hit me hard recently, is why not pray right then? You know, it's not like it takes that big of an effort. And it can be so powerful and so meaningful. What if we prayed right then, right when they asked? You know, what if we offered a prayer with our coworkers when they're struggling? I mean, how big of a testimony would that be about our seriousness of our faith, that we want to bring God into their situation? You know, it's not that we bring Him here, but we're bringing prayer to them. That's been a challenge on my heart recently, because I think it's through prayer that God has offered through prayer a means to communicate with Him, a means to connect our hearts with His. You know, it's a seriousness that we can share with each other right then, right there. And I really believe it can be a testimony to others in the world that don't know Him. So that's what I wanted to share with you guys. That's what I've gotten and continuing to grow in this upward portion of the series. So hope you can take that as a challenge as well. Thanks.
Good morning, church. I've been allotted a time of 7 minutes, so work with me. Let's pray. Most heavenly and gracious Father, we ask your grace and mercy would be upon us. Help us to remember your word. Help us to remember your Son and everything that we do, the way that we think, the way that we treat one another, the way that we speak, the way that we go about our lives. Help us, Father God, to be a people of love, because the world will know that we are truly your disciples by the way that we love one another. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. During my downtime, I get an opportunity to browse some documentaries on the BBC channel. One focused on human trafficking and the other on drug addiction. Lives both young and old have been destroyed by drugs, innocence lost to those most precious, children. Manipulated, abused, and taken advantage of with no one to defend, rescue, or speak up for them. Drugs and alcohol abuse have and continue to destroy young minds, bodies, and lives. It is no longer the poor or less fortunate who are affected. People from every walk of life, every profession, religion, and skin tone have been touched by this roaring lion who devours mercilessly, tearing and destroying the mind and ultimately destroying the soul. The question was posed to me, how is God's word and my time in the Word affected me? The question I asked myself was, how has God's Word stirred my soul that I am making an impact on those around me, not just Christians, but those outside of Christ? I work almost every day. I have a family to take care of. But I realize that my physical family is not just in my hands. Everyone I come in contact with, hopefully, will become a part of my family. Everyone I come in contact with is my ministry. Everyone. Yet God continues to stir my heart through the word and prayer. Often I find myself asking God how, what, and why. How do I carry out His will? When I see someone suffering, how do I share the gospel in this particular situation or that particular situation? What does God want of me, and why should I keep sharing with someone who seemingly does not want to hear about Jesus? These are the questions I constantly ask myself. After having seen the sadness in the eyes of those who suffered and looking at those whose minds have become so poisoned with drugs, it brought me back to reality. And it's not just drugs. It's work, relationships, school. There are so many things that preoccupy our times that take us away from Jesus. And what the elders have been trying to get us to do here is focused back on what is most important. We used to have a study series called Getting Back to the Basics, which was a long time ago. And the basics are Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. When we focus on those things, we see that that is most important, because we can't take our money with us. We can't take our clothes with us when we die. We can't take our cars with us or our homes, any of these worldly possessions. What's most important is relationship and the relationships that we have with one another while we are here on this earth. And the purpose of Christ, the purpose of the message, is to bring as many people into the kingdom that we possibly can. There are two things in life that are sure, that's death and taxes. A lot of us have dealt with one, but I want to assure you that the second one is coming. And my question to you is, will you be ready? The Holy Scriptures have revealed to me three things. Jesus said, if you love me, you will feed my sheep. Number two, be devoted to the apostles' teachings, breaking of bread, fellowship, and the prayer. That's Acts chapter 2. Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach, baptizing and making disciples. John 1 speaks of the message of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. It changes men's lives. And that word also brings dead men back to life. What is our focus after we leave here? This body of people. Do we go about living our lives in such a way that it affects those around us? I have three sons that I had the pleasure of baptizing. One of them is here, and two others are away in college. They constantly ask me, Dad, why do you do the things that you do? Why do you take care of mom the way that you take care of mom? Why do you work so hard to take care of us as a dad? Example means everything to me. I can't tell my daughter to pick up her room if I have things thrown all over my bed or my floor at the house. And that's the number one thing that my boys always noticed when they were little. The first thing that they would say to me is, Dad, you tell us to do these things, but you need to do them too. And it really hit me. That's what stands out to me about Christ. He not only talked, but he did what he said he was going to do. As we leave here today, I hope you will be mindful of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I didn't say what I wanted to say, and I didn't go as deep as I wanted to get. But we are here because someone reached out to us. Someone shared a message of the gospel. Someone said hello. Someone introduced themselves to you. Someone invited you to a meal. Someone recognized that there was something within you that caused them to believe and to trust and to obey the message of the gospel. And that is to go out and share with the world that God is love, and for those who are willing to accept him and to obey him, he is able to give eternal life. As you live your lives and as you go from here today, remember, you are not alone. You are never alone. Jesus promised that he would never leave you or forsake you. Thank you for this time that you've given me. Always If you have questions, we have elders here. We have many leaders here who are proficient in scripture, who know the word. Always feel free to ask any question that bothers you, and don't be afraid to ask for help, because we at Central here strive to reach those and to serve. Thank you.
Good morning, family. My name is Jim Blue, and if I could have one moment of prayer before we get started. Please, Lord, be with me for the next few minutes to share my story with of your faith, strength, and hope in my life. I don't know who designated the time length. I was told 2 minutes. I think Tom knows me well enough to try to keep it on the short side, so I'll try to keep it short. I wanted to thank Richard Brown and the elders for this opportunity. I'd like to also voice my thanks and approval for the Upward series study that we've got here for the congregation. The power and importance of prayer and reconciliation is what I'd like to speak about for a minute. I think it's a cornerstone of our faith. We could all use a little bit more reconciliation in putting God and his wishes first. I know sometimes I forget that. It's Jim's way, and that's not correct. So here's just a little bit of what I'd like to share. I hope y'all listen. There's a few messages here. Last week, in our prayer request on the blue cards, I asked the Lord to help me to be responsive in being available when he calls on me to do so. Well, it didn't take long, did it? So it's time to back that up, folks. I have two daughters, Jenna and Lindsay. Jenna's here. Lindsay's here today. Jenna's with us in prayer, of course. Jenna, my oldest daughter, got a little tired of my excessive drinking when she was living with me. So after her 18th birthday at our home, she informed me that she had her bags packed. And there's nothing I could do about that. And she would be leaving. And, oh, by the way, I'm getting married tomorrow. And you're not invited. That definitely broke my heart. I didn't get mad at Jenna because she told the truth. I mean, she did. But that started a resentment. I had to put it somewhere on her fiance, which his name is Jerry. And that lasted for 13 years. I only went and saw Jenna and her husband Jerry on one day a year. That was Christmas. I remember on the fifth year, I was invited to lunch that day. And she and Jerry had two children of three at that time. I proceeded to show up drunk as Cooter Brown. It was pretty bad. I proceeded also to try to pick a fight with Jerry at his own home when he invited me there. That wasn't real smart. Jerry is a master of the martial arts. He has 6 black belts and he's proficient at all of them. He knows karate and jujitsu and taekwondo and 3 others that I can't pronounce. It was fortunate for me that Jerry is and was a Christian man at that time. He suggested that I might want to leave because someone might get hurt. Who, me? After that, I wasn't invited back to see Jenna or her family. When I became sober and entered his way in January 2016, my broken relationship with Jenna and Lindsay topped my bucket list for things to do. I remember asking Tom Reynolds to teach me how to pray and how to pray for the return of Jenna in my life and for Lindsay's life, period. She was a little bit out there, guys. Lindsay was on her fourth year of living on the streets. She was using heroin and meth. I've asked her to be here today so I could tell that. And I've asked her if that was all right. She says, yes, it was. I can't tell you how many hours I prayed for my two daughters. Finally, it came around the fifth year. Lindsay finally came around and got tired of living on the streets. It took an additional 3 years of prayer for her to find the word God and Jesus and enter Love Lady Rehab Center. It was a blessed day. Today she's doing remarkably well. My prayers of gratitude still go up numerously every day. It's just part of my being to thank him for that. Back to Jenna, she finally gave me a call 4 weeks ago on a Sunday. It was right after listening to Alan Wright complete a sermon that included faith in God on God's time frame. All things will change for the good. It was very touching to my heart that followed right after that. Jenna said to me that the kids were asking, you know, where is this grandpa fella you've been talking about? They didn't know who I was. They were too young before. They only had one living grandparent, and the other one died a few months before. And that was me. That was not a good representative of what they were wanting. They were wanting the love of a grandparent. We had lost Jerry's mother to a heart attack about 6 months before. After 17 years of being absent from Jenna's life and 5 years of prayers, my Lord finally put the pieces of my puzzle together. Amen. It's a long time. I told Tom more than once, I'm about to give up on this. I'm getting nowhere. He said, no, keep on. It's in his time, not mine. Right. Folks, prayer is change. Yes. Keep that in mind. Prayer is change. In my opinion, there is no change without prayer and reconciliation with God from the God our Father. I've worked long and hard for the past 5 years for two things, both the relationship with the Lord and the ability to pray in a way that would change my life and glorify His. I really did not do this for my daughters or the relationship with the three grandkids that didn't know me. I gotta admit, I did this purely for selfish reasons. To find a relationship with our Father. That's what I needed. I would have been no good to either my daughters or my grandkids if I hadn't found the Lord first and reconciled myself with Him. That's a hard word for us. It's a hard word to do, but it brings such love in your heart when you do. I think someone told me it was cleaning your plate. It's if you mean it, it's the best feeling in the world. Jerry's mother died 6 months ago, leaving three kids without a grandparent except for me. God used this bad time to produce good in all of it. And that is beautiful. God is good. He takes a bad situation and He turns it around. Isn't He like that? He does that type thing, doesn't He? Tell me God doesn't work in glorious and mysterious ways. Three kids and God brought about beautiful, prayerful reconciliation. The best I've ever heard of or seen in my life. So God and three kids changed six people's lives. He took a bad situation, someone dying that we loved, and He turned it completely around. 5 years of prayer brought about a total change in six people's lives. I can only speak for myself. It was the biggest change in my life. And I thank God for the opportunity to be here, but I thank God for the opportunity to be his child. Amen. Thank you very much.
Have to be careful to sit there for a while. My legs go to sleep, and then the first step I take may be on my face. So, and that would be looking down, not up. We're talking about looking up, right? I want to spend a few minutes sharing with what kind of experience I've had going through the upward so far. I have to admit I was, in a way, in a doldrum. But I was so busy doing things and working on this and doing church. Can I use that? Doing church, that I wasn't really paying attention to the personal relationship with God. I was thinking about this passage, this memory verse that we had, which was, you know, draw near to God and he'll do what? Draw near to you. So I said, well, I'm not really thinking about that. I'm telling everybody else to think about it, but I'm not really thinking about that. So one thing that happened with this is I began to really look at what it means to have a personal relationship with God in a new way, in a deeper way. Some other things that came out. You know, when I was growing up, we had to memorize. You know, we have a memory verse here. I didn't suggest it, but I'm glad it got in. And one day, I was talking to Drew Wright, and she said something about the memory verse. And then she turned, you know, Drew can be direct at times. And she said, are you doing the memory work? And I said, I gave some sort of waffly answer. That because I'd seen and studied those verses. You know what I mean? I knew what was there. And I considered what that meant. So I went back to the basics. Here are the 12 memory verses. They're written on a card, the citation on the side, and the verse on the back. Anybody ever use that system? That's how I got my exams in school. I didn't take my chart cards with me to cheat, but I took it to learn. So you look at it. And one verse, for example, that soaked in at a deeper level than I had experienced before. I've read over it, read by it, read whatever you want to say. Excuse me, whatever you want to say. And that was 1 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22. Now it is God who makes us both, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He has anointed us. He's anointed us. Think about that. He has anointed us and he has put his He has put his seal of ownership on us. Think about that too. And he has put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what's to come. That's a remarkable verse. It's one of the ones that stood out of all this because it's all in that, isn't it? It's all there. And so what had happened is that when I memorized that, it went into a deeper level. It wasn't just knowing about it, it was knowing it. I don't know how you experience things like that, but that was a powerful thing for me to have that verse in my head. It's one thing to have it in your hand like this, and you go, boop, oh yeah, I know that verse. But it's another thing to internalize it in a way it's a part of you. And that goes to a deeper level. That's what I experienced anyway. There's some other things. The thing about, you know, gratitude. One of the things we talked about was gratitude. And in a general way, I was grateful. But in this series, I moved to more specifics. Specifically, what is am I thankful for? You know, other than in a general sense, my deliverance from sin and the judgment that goes with it. And lastly, the thing that really brought it home to me, pondering at the start, what does it mean to draw close to God? And I really couldn't define that. When we got down to week 7, and we started talking about intimacy with God, and we talked about peace and simplicity and solitude, I hadn't thought much about solitude. Peace, you know, what is peace? And that was a good study because Jesus said, I didn't come to bring you peace. Well, what does he mean? You know, he must have a different definition of peace. Simplicity. I'm a cluttered guy. I mean, you could not exceed the clutter in my office. It's impossible. But what I realized more than that is that there's clutter in your life. And I began to look at the things that were cluttering my life and choking out the real upward nature of my relationship with God. It's not that they were bad things. It was just that there was no time there. So when you talk about solitude, that's fundamental to being able to have this relationship. It's fundamental. So I began to do some things. When do I get time for solitude? Well, it's difficult for me to push back on certain things. But the thing I realized is I have a good bit of private time in my car going and coming. And what is typical when you get in your car? You're thinking about a whole bunch of other things, and what's the first thing you do? Turn the radio on, right? Well, I've stopped that. That's a direct result of having thought about this. And some other things, I'm setting aside a time for solitude. Because, at least in a figurative way, Jesus came God came to the prophet in a, what kind? A soft, still voice. And if we've got so much clutter going on in our lives, we will not be able to hear that soft voice, and we will not be able to plead with God about it. So that was, and the other thing that was part of that, we talked about the study, prayer, and fasting. And after a long lapse, as a part of this, I have started a periodic fast. And it's really a good thing. It reminds you in ways that nothing else can. I don't care whether it's food or whether it's electronics. You need to fast because that reminds you of things in a way nothing else can. It reminds you of dependence. So let me shift just a minute here and take a few things. Ed made a reference to the survey. We got some real good inputs. I want to thank the teachers for letting me disturb their classes for a little while. And the sentiment of the survey can be, I'm going to read some examples here, but excuse me. And we talked about, ask about how the relationship's gone. So ask you the question. A renewal in relationship, studies in the morning, notes helped me to focus, had a better attitude toward everything. You ever hear the old expression, start your day right and it'll go better? Well, that's the way it works sometimes. Like the focus, all coordinated. Topics great and focus on the topics. Enjoyed the study I've done to follow on the journey. I'm more conscientious in talking to God and thanking him throughout the day. These kind of states the purpose of why we're working this. Simple lessons, but I've benefited from personal study. It's replaced my watching the news, (which is upsetting). unified study is encouraging. Very positive response from, this is one of the classes, across the class. And we asked for feedback on how other things were going, and we got several things like having difficulty with the format, and thank you for the scriptural references and so on. But let me take a couple more just to show. One says, the weekly thought on purity was good. I've gotten better at filtering out the trash on TV through encouragement on purity. And here's one that really catches the spirit of some of what we were trying to do. Read the verses and the Bible last thing before going to sleep, even if I'm reading another book. We did pick this to be simple, and if you already have a full life in terms of the spiritual disciplines, that we're just asking, we're asking that you add 6 to 8 verses a week that would go along with what we're doing. I could go on here, but one of the primary themes was having a united focus, not just meandering or walking with God, and the focus intent and all the journey means a lot to me. So the focus that we're having doing. And on the other side, there has been some and we appreciate you bearing with us. There's been some discontinuities, and we had a misstep or two in the timing on the front in terms of the scheduling, and you've just taken that and moved on in stride, and that is encouraging, I can tell you that. And the last one here is continue using outside speakers, new voices help. Earl is very well received. And so we've tried to provide variety through that means. But that gives you a sampling. I'm not trying to be biased with it. It's just to let you know that that it is working in this congregation, and let you know that we, the elders, appreciate it very much as we try to provide a sense of direction and have us all together and unified in our pursuit of Christ and God. I would make one other thing is that, remember, we're in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And that really came home to me when I looked at all those. Just as a reinforcement, you may recall, we handed out all the verses in the New Testament that dwelt on the work of the Holy Spirit. And that really made a big impression on me. I had read all those verses, but till I read them all together at one time and realized the message is, and I quoted it in that 1 Corinthians passage, the message is that we're in partnership with the Holy Spirit. We need to conduct our lives upright and in purity so we do not quench the Spirit's fire and so we do not make the Spirit grieve, but rather we accomplish God's purposes together. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for these folks that have come forward today and shared with the congregation aspects of their life and ways that they're trying to grow, ways that they're trying to improve their relationship upward, relationship with God. Father, we pray that we can, as a congregation, share with each other and love each other and take care of each other and encourage each other to draw closer to God. Father, we pray that the leaders of this church will provide more ways in helping folks to concentrate on those sorts of things. And as we have in these first few weeks of this journey, we've tried to provide common scriptures and common words to encourage those who would like to improve each and every day their relationship with each other and with God, and to shine the light of Jesus' gospel to the rest of the world. We pray all these things through Jesus, your Son. Amen. Amen. Now, one of the things you might have noticed about the discussion today has been its focus towards Christians and their relationships with each other, and especially their relations to God. But if you consider yourself outside of Christ and outside of the congregation of Christians, and you feel a tug that says, you know, I need to make a step. I need to do something to make that step towards God. This is an opportunity, one opportunity that you can have, and it's a great opportunity right now to do that while we stand together and sing. And if you are, if you see things in your life that